Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise the Lord Jesus. There is so much power of God in this place. There is so much anointing of the Holy Spirit here. And one thing I'm sure of is that the Lord will do us good tonight. He's not called the seeds of Jacob to seek him in vain. One thing is certain. Don't look at a man tonight. I'm just only but a vessel. It says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of power might be of God and not of us. There is a treasure here, and the treasure is with utmost excellence. But looking unto Jesus, author and the perfecter of our faith. If you look at Jesus tonight, the same way I am looking unto Jesus tonight, I can guarantee you one thing. You would live here with a tangible encounter culminating in a lifelong time experience that will alter the course of your destiny forever for good. If you are here for Jesus, give the Lord a big shout of praise. And give him a big clap offering tonight. Encounter Jesus that can be louder. The shouting side is the winning side. There is a mystery about joy. It says, with joy ye shall draw out of the wells of salvation. With joy, the well of salvation is here tonight. But there is a responsibility that rests on your shoulder, and that is the duty of joy. The more joyful you are, the more you'll be able to draw out of the endless eternal wells of salvation. So how much you receive tonight is not dependent upon Apostle Michael Oropo, who is our father here in absentia. But one thing I'm sure, Paul said, although I am absent in the flesh, I am with you in the spirit. He is with us here tonight in the spirit, and I know his angels are all over here. I can feel them here. So it's not dependent upon him, neither is it dependent upon the Reverend Hughes. It is dependent upon the quantity and the quality of your joy. If you have that joy tonight, give someone a high five. Give them a high five. Change location. Change seat. Give them a high five and tell them, I'm going to draw tonight.
Oh. When you are here, 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 when you are here.
When you are here,
when you are here,
Holy Ghost,
when you are here,
I am.
What makes it the house of God is that the Holy Ghost is actively functioning. Jesus says your body shall be called is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Ghost do not profit us except as it comes into manifestation. The Bible says it is the manifestation of the Spirit that profit without. He did not say it is the Holy Ghost that profits you. He did not say it is the Holy Spirit that profits. As good, as grand as the Holy Spirit is, he does not profit you except as it begins to come into manifestation. And one of the systems for getting the Holy Ghost come into manifestation is that you begin to exalt Jesus and you begin to glorify Jesus. For the basic ministry of the Holy Ghost is the exaltation of Jesus. It was Jesus who said that when the Holy Ghost is come, he shall testify of me. The basic duty of the Holy Ghost is to exalt the resurrected Christ. Tell Jesus how much you love him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, we've got some good grounds to cover. But before I start, I want to really appreciate my friend and brother, the Apostle Michael Orokpo, for this great privilege and honor of hand that he's had me bring the word of life to us. Like I've always said, and I still maintain, there are no best preachers. There are only preachers that God has prepared for certain occasions. I am not the best, not even close to the best of the best. But God has ordained it, that I will be here at such a time like this. And I thank him for responding. I thank him and his wife, Mrs. Osinaga. Orokpo, clap hands for her. The ladies who are not clapping are suspect. I say clap hands for Mrs. Osinaga. The apostle is standing strong because she's standing strong too behind him. It's been said that for every successful man, there is a woman. And I think that is a bit biased. For every successful man, there's a standing. For every successful woman, there's a standing man. Clap hands for her once more. Amen. Amen to Jesus. And we've spoken, and a lot is happening in London. 2 days ago, he was at Wembley. It was awesome. I think last night he was where? In Scotland. And I think today too in London. And the good news is this: every city have been very easy for him. None of the land have been too hard. You know, it is what you carry that determines the atmosphere. He carried from here the full apostolic wing of fire. And London, UK, could not stand it. The demons, the darkness, have been scampering for safety under his dominant light in Christ Jesus. We thank God for that grace, and the power of God in his life and on his life will keep becoming stronger and stronger in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I must say, I thank all of you here for having me. Thank you. Thank you very much. You've made my work a lot easier. The reception, I think, is good. If your reception were poor, the meeting on Sunday would have been poor. Because it doesn't only depend on the man of God. Jesus could not perform much miracles in Nazareth. The Bible says, because of their unbelief. The scripture says, save, he laid hands on few folks and healed them. And the Bible says he marveled at their unbelief. Just get to think of it when Jesus is surprised. When God becomes surprised. Jesus was surprised in his own hometown. Why? The people did not receive him. I think you received me on Sunday. Thank you. Thank you very much. Like I said, on Sundays is a very big shoe. Very big shoe. Apostle Oropo's shoe is a very big one. But I'm confident because I'm hiding behind the cross. I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. So when Jesus dips his leg into that shoe, my leg must enter. And the good thing is this, both the shoe and the leg, his leg and my leg, all belong to Jesus. So no shoe can be too big. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big clap offering. Amen. Is someone excited here? If you are not excited, I won't preach. Because I know how it works. The revelation will not flow. Give the Lord a smiling offering. Have you ever heard of a smile offering? Give the Lord what? Give the Lord what? Okay, give the Lord a laughter offering. See, and he that sits upon the throne shall laugh. Do you know what I'm trying to do to soften the atmosphere? Tonight I want to teach God's word. And I hope you love the word of God. On Sunday, we began looking at what? Markers of full apostolic anointing. That's the topic of discourse. And I hope to tidy it up tonight. Then the Holy Ghost will begin to minister himself because he told me some things about this meeting. And I will tell you some of them briefly. The things to expect when we are done opening the pages of the Holy Writ. Number one, he said to me clearly that tonight there shall be fresh baptism. I'm telling you this so that your expectation will be high. Tonight there would be fresh baptism. There will be rebaptism in the Holy Ghost. Secondly, while I prayed for this meeting, the Holy Ghost opened my eyes and I saw showers of water. There will be new, fresh rain this evening. The heavens will be open and there will be rain tonight. It all depends on how much you can receive. Thirdly, the Holy Ghost told me clearly, there shall be ordinations. And he showed me five dimensions of the anointing that will be activated again. Now, this doesn't mean you don't have the ordination. You have them, but in God, there is always more. Someone said that God is as deep as eternity. You can't finish exploring him. The more you know him, the more there is more to him to know. We cannot exhaust him. Never. Never. We can exhaust the world. We can exhaust the anointing. We can exhaust the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. So God always needs to take us higher. So he would say in the last writing, come up hither. And if you've come up, there is still a higher height to go to. He showed me five of the nations. Number one, there shall be an outpouring of the spirit of intercession. It is called the spirit of grace and supplication. Fresh outpouring. I mean, tonight you would live here with the fullness of the burdens to embrace the prayer altar. And that is where the eras of the kingdom are birthed from. It means that God is about shifting this apostolic move to a new pedestal. And we would prepare for it by embracing the protocols of intercession. I would God that every one of us turn intercessors tonight. Hear me. Intercession is not a ministry. It is not a special ministry. It is the believer's ministry. Every one of us is called to be intercessors. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. The second ordination that will be taking place is that God will be conscripting men into the ministry of helps. In this end time, God is doing something. God wants everyone to be ministers. Everybody in this end time. Not necessarily in the fivefold sense of it. The fivefold is for some. The Bible says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The fivefold is for some. Not every one of us will hold the microphone. No. Not every one of us will stand on the stage. But that doesn't mean that you aren't called to the ministry. He is giving all of us the ministry of reconciliation. So he says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall become witnesses unto me. How many of you here have the Holy Ghost? Wave at me if you've got the Holy Ghost. I have him. Since 1998, I have him. Do you know what that means? You are a witness. The fivefold ministry is for some. The ministry of witness is for all. And we cannot prosecute that ministry effectively in this end time if we are not laden and burdened with intercession. In this class of ministry is what we bring forth the concept of the ministry of helps. God will conscript you that you might find yourself waking up 1 a.m. pray for 5 hours interceding for Apostle Michael Orokpo and the encounter Jesus ministry. That the frontiers of the kingdom go forward more. And it said to me clearly that in this category of the ministry of helps, he shall be releasing the gift of the power to get wealth. You didn't hear me. I know encounter Jesus is not biased towards prosperity because I know my friend. I know he's not. So you can't be. I says he would empower men to get wealth. I mean kingdom millionaires would arise. Kingdom billionaires would arise. I heard him clearly. So I wouldn't say what he didn't say to me. Special givers will arise. Your ministry is called the ministry of helps. To help transport the gospel. There shall be that ordination tonight. There shall arise prophetic minstrels. He said that to me. Singers with tongues of fire. That when you begin to sing, your words will start being written on the heart of men. Their heart will catch fire because you are singing the word of the Lord. And lastly, there shall be special evangelists. I know what he said to me. Not evangelists in the sense you're thinking. These are bivocational evangelists. You will be a doctor, but you will be a special soul winner. You will be a nurse, but you still be a special soul winner. You will be a businesswoman, but your business premises is a mobile altar of the Lord. And he said to me, it's in this class I raised a man like Stephen. I hope you know Stephen was not in full time. He was in the deaconry. Stephen was the deacon in church. Who was sweeping the church and ensuring that things were going upright. The Bible said, and Stephen, a man full of faith, a man full of wisdom, a man full of the Holy Ghost, did many miracles among the people. Stephen. That oil will be here tonight. And I want you to know that the only man in the New Testament that we saw that Jesus stood for was not Paul. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't James. Nor Andrew. It was Stephen. Hear me right now. Even if you're not holding the microphone, you're not disadvantaged. You are not. The craze for microphone is becoming too much. No, there is ministry in the marketplaces. The Stephen anointing, the Holy Ghost said to me, will fall tonight. You'll be significant in the kingdom. Not because you're an apostle, not a pastor, not a prophet, not a teacher, but because you have the burden for the expansion of the kingdom of God. In this kingdom, differentiation is by burden. Differentiation is by passion and is by hunger. How hungry are you? You can be a doctor and the next person that dies in your hospital, you're not even thinking of raising him up. But as you touch him, the life of God enters him and he jacks up and he says, I saw a vision of glory while I was there. And Jesus said to me, go back home, for Dr. Mazu will not allow you go. Are you following me? And I'm here rising. And the vision I see has never been seen in the world. The pictures of God I get in my soul is something that has never happened, because we are in the last days of the last days. This is the last days church that will take the battle to the gate of hell, then snatch men out of the teeth of darkness, so that an army can arise for Jesus. Men full of light, whom wherever they find themselves, darkness will flee. That is why he's showing us the full apostolic anointing, because the anointing that will be required for this final harvest is not the ankle deep anointing. We saw on Sunday, as a means of recap, from Ezekiel 47, the Bible says that the anointing is in four measures. There is that which is to the ankle, that won't go far. There is the knee level anointing. That only stops here. Just stop somewhere here. More than half of the body is still not submerged. Now, you know something? Do you know why the Lord painted that scenario with a human being? He says, the knee deep, the ankle deep, the loin level, then the anointing, the water, the river that you could swim in. You know, it was a picture of a man. Do you know why? We are called the body of Christ. Ezekiel 47 is talking about the church. This apostolic outpouring that began 20 years ago, God has been releasing in measures. The church of Jesus Christ is standing in the midst of the ocean of that anointing. We have gone past the ankle. We've gone past the knee. Now we are at the loin. But God is taking the church further to the measure that we will swim. That the measure that will swallow up the church. It is when that time comes that no darkness can permeate the soul of the church. And every shame the church of Jesus Christ have been facing shall be turned to glory. And every disadvantage we've had shall become an advantage. Because the church will begin to march in glory. And when I talk about the church, I speak about the church in the three sense of the word. Number one, the church as you. Don't you understand? He says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God dwells in you. What makes it a church is not the building. What makes it a church is because it is housing the spirit of the resurrected Jesus. And right now, the Holy Ghost is in you. So you are the church of God. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Hear me right now, saints of God. If you are not here, this hall is not a church. It's a church because you are here. When I talk about the church, I speak of the church in the three sense of the word. Number two, the church as the local assembly, where you have all the denominations. Hear me, don't fight denominations. It is God's idea. Denominationalism is God's idea. Do you know why? God is like a mountain. Where you stand determines what you see. We cannot all have the same revelations of God. We cannot all have the same revelation of God. Answer me, someone. What is the name of God? What's God's name? Answer me, church. Louder. Yahweh. What is the meaning of Yahweh? Someone answer me quickly. This is Bible studies, right? What is Yahweh? Can I hear you? Fine boy pastor. What is Yahweh? What's English meaning? Huh? God of what? Please, where's microphone? God of what? Victor? What is the meaning of Jehovah? Well, let's save time. God is not the name of God. Jehovah means supreme being. Supreme being can't be a name. It's a definition of hierarchy. Where he occupies. You see, God has no name. I hope you know that. He told Moses, okay, Moses asked him, who do I say send me? He said, go tell Pharaoh, I am that I am sent you. Is that a name? I am that I am. The closest description that we could call the name of God is that I am that I am. Do you know what that means? Whatever you take me to be, I become to you. So we see that in the Bible, God has different names depending upon the encounters of men. When Abraham met him, sacrificing his son, he took his son to the mountain, Moriah. And when he was about to kill the lad, the angel said, no, don't lay hands on him. Now I know that thou fear me, so I would fulfill everything I've told you. And he saw the lamb, the sheep, caught by its horn in the thickest in the bush. And the Bible says, Abraham, from that day, called that place Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. He received an encounter where God was supplying miraculously. So he gave him the name Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is not the name of God. It's a description of a certain attribute of God that was encountered by Abraham. Oh, what is his name? Someone will say, Jesus. Jesus is not the name of God. It's a description of the salvific manifestation of God to our world. Jesus means Savior. The Hebrew is Joshua. So when he came upon our world as Savior, he came as Jesus. I don't have time tonight. God becomes to you by the encounter you have of him. He said, I failed in the university for a very long time. He said, I spent 10 years in this school to bag a degree. My first 5 years, I was advised to withdraw on probation with 19 carryovers. And I was on fire for Jesus, born again. Then I began to seek him. And I told myself I must bag a degree. So I wrote jam and started afresh again. Then while I was pressing into God in fasting and praying, I encountered a scripture. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let arrogance not proceed out of your mouth. For God is a God of knowledge. And by him actions are weighed. The word God of knowledge leapt from the scriptures and became golden in my sight. And I heard Jehovah Academia. The God of knowledge. I got an encounter with the God of knowledge. Saints of God, friends of Jesus. From that encounter, I will go on making a first class degree in that university. From that encounter, I will go on becoming the overall best graduating student of the university. With a GPA of 4.89. From that encounter, I saw the vision of God. I saw a name that he has, Jehovah Academia. That is not captured on the pages of the scriptures. God becomes to you whatever he encounters you for. He's called the I am that I am. So if you read your scripture, you see Elohim, you see El Shaddai, you see Jehovah. See the canoe? So you are confused. Which one is my God? Are you following me? Are you following me? Tonight, he will be your God. Not just the God of Abraham, not the God of Isaac, not the God of Jacob. Tonight, he would be your God. Now we've entered this era. God is about ushering us to the full apostolic anointing. And we saw the five streams of this full apostolic anointing. Number one is a stream, is the power of the breaking hearts. That is where we are right now, dominantly in the revival, in the apostolic kingdom revival. Is the era where when you hear the word of God, your heart burns. Is the era where the heart of the children is turned to the heart of their fathers for them to repent. That is the era where his word is hammer, where his word is fire. It is the era where the ministry of the Holy Ghost is fulfilled. He shall convict men of sin. The second stream of the power of the apostolic ministry is the power of rise up and walk, the healing anointing. In this era, we will not only have men being convicted of sin, weeping and wailing and crying, we would also have that every cancer will die. Every diabetes will be disabled. Every tumor will be terminated. Every HIV will be humiliated. It's a time where the lame will stand up and walk in our meetings. And we saw the power of none that lacked. The church of Jesus Christ is not a poor church. If we are ever poor, we are poor reflection of heaven. Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done on earth." Answer me, church, is there poverty in heaven? Huh? Answer me like faith-filled folks. Is there poverty in heaven? And Jesus says, say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The standard gauge of the church is the environment of heaven. So if there is no poverty in heaven, there should be no poverty in the church. Is there poverty in the church? Yes, it is because we are still sojourning from Egypt to Canaan. Canaan is the land that flows with milk and honey. And we have different levels of faith. And there was none that lacked. Fourthly, is the power to cause darkness. You see, God is light, but God causes darkness. When he judges, he appears as darkness. He appears as darkness. So Elimas the sorcerer was withstanding the preaching of the gospel. Paul rose and said, "No, you child of the devil, who seeks to pervert the way of the Lord, you shall be blind for a season." And the Bible says, mist covered him on the spot and he became blind. We are in the days of judgment. If you know Jesus, the Lamb only, you might die before age 45. Because the Jesus that will keep you alive till 95 is Jesus the Lion, Jesus the Warrior. And I told you on Sunday, I think I'll have to show us this quickly. Jesus is not only the Savior. When he came initially, he was declared to be the Savior. But men love darkness. Because their deeds are evil. So as the church is progressing, Jesus was metamorphosing his nature. And in the book of Revelation, he became Jesus the Killer. It's the judgmental dimension of the loving God. Revelation chapter 2. The Holy Ghost says, "I should show you this because judgment is coming. Politicians will die in this nation. They will sleep and not wake up." I'm a word-based preacher. Revelation chapter 2. I am in the name of Jesus. Are you here with me? Are you there? Chapter 2, verse 18. In your Bible, is it in red? Is it red in your Bible? Answer me, church.
Is it right in your Bible?
Tuesday is our Bible studies, right? So let's look into the Holy Writ.
And unto the angel of the church in where? Thyatira, right? This thing said the Son of God. Who's uttering these words?
Answer me, encounter Jesus.
Who is uttering these words?
I can hear you.
Who is the Son of God? Who is speaking these words?
Jesus, right? Is that accepted? If it's accepted, say, I accept. Raise your right hand and say, I accept.
Are you sure, Mama? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Say, I accept.
I feel the power of the Holy Ghost here.
You know, the anointing can be felt. Jesus said, who touched me? For I felt virtue.
Virtue is here.
But let's not fall for the temptation of the Holy Ghost.
All right. This thing said the Son of God, who had his eyes like unto a flame of fire.
When God wants to step up to some dimension, his eyes become.
You know, I know in those days when you were trying to woo that lady, you know, when you see her, you just to her eye, eyes of love.
There's an eye of love, huh? Jesus didn't do eye of. You cut eye for that lady, and now you are married. Why are you pretending?
There's the eye of love. Jesus didn't do eye of love here. He did what? Eyes of the flames of fire.
Let's run. Media.
And his feet as fine brass. And he says, I know thy works, thy charity, thy service, thy faith, thy patience, thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess. Jesus was writing to the church. She calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servant to commit fornication and eat things offered to idols. The prophetess was in the church. You see, the apostolic move is intertwined with the prophetic move. And one of the negative symptoms of the prophetic move is the display of the spirit of wisdom. Jesus perceived it centuries ago, and it uttered his word. I want you to know that the letter written to the seven churches is a letter written to the end time church. Why? Seven is the number of perfection, is the number of completeness. That letter is the culmination of the will of God to his church. So when you look at the letter to Thyatira, you will see the end time church. When you look at the letter to the church at Ephesus, you will see the end time church. When you look at the letter to the church at Pergamos, you will see the end time church. Seven is the number of completeness. He's writing to us so we can see in our midst that the prophets are full of wisdom. They are demonized. It didn't start now. It was prophesied a young before now. Are you following me? What is Jesus' solution? Jesus have got only twofold solution. Let's read it. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into where? Are you reading with me? Let's begin. Behold, I will cast her. I want you to read with me, eh? You know, there is a blessing in reading the word. He said, blessed is he that readeth these words. So let's read. You know, some of you new creation realities have made you irresponsible. You are fornicating and coming to stand on his altar. Choir, you will die. Those of you that leave the bed of fornication and come and stand and say, grace, 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 you will die. I know what I'm saying like I know my name. I have seen judgment in the house of God. I told you I've been preaching for 17 years. I've been a pastor for 17 years. I have seen ladies die as a result of these things. Read with me. And I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation. Who's talking? Who's talking? Jesus casting someone into tribulation. except they repent of their deeds. When Jesus comes as a lion, when Jesus comes as a killer, only two options are open. Either you repent or you experience verse 23. Read verse 23. And I will kill her children with what? I can hear you. Someone shout death. Shout death. Who's making the statement? Jesus. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am the Lord. We search at the reins and the heart. And I will give unto every man according to your works. Revelation is a final revelation of God to the church. It was here that he said, let him that sin continue to sin. Let him that is holy be holy still. Why? He had finished everything he needed to say. He had reached the zenith of his mercy. His son had died. The Holy Ghost had been released. The word he has been given to us. What will he do again? He's like, you have a son. You've done everything for him. He will not learn. To have peace, what do most parents do? Anything you want to do, just do. It's your life. I've tried my best. Whatever you want to, just do. God came to that point. Jesus, the killer. There's only one escape route. Repentance. Many years ago, we were in a ministry. Victor was there too. There was this sister who was the head of the decoration unit that gave her hundreds of thousands to go to the city of Aba to buy materials for altar decoration to prepare for a mighty conference. She traveled and came back. And a certain young man from a mighty ministry in that city came and reported to me. I said, sir, your head cheated me. We entered a deal. And after the whole thing, she has refused to give my share. So I will expose her. We said, what is the issue? He said, let me confess first. What she bought was not the amount she stated that she bought those things is not the amount. Everything is inflated. She used the money of the church to start her own, decoration business. Naturally, she bought things for herself also to start doing decoration business. She was becoming big. She had her firm, but she used the resources from the ministry. And it's a kingdom-based ministry. So they just overlooked everything. And I was looking at her. It was as though everything was fine. When they were in Bible school, I was part of those who was teaching them there. One day in the heat of lecture, she screamed, ran out of the hall and became mad. Became schizophrenic. We tried to hold her, no way. We tried to hold her. This lady, that was how Sister ABC became mad. They tried to hold her from hospital to hospital. Everything calmed down. When she wanted to get married, few days to the marriage, she fell sick on the spot. Few days later, Sister ABC died. I've seen judgment in the house of God. That is the only one we know. The Bible talks about the cup of iniquity of the Amorite. It can be full. When it gets full, right, the earth will reject you. The justice system of the earth will reject you. Your soul will be saved, might be saved, because the Redeemer lives there. But your airtime on the earth is over. Jesus kills, or better still, he allows killings to take place as judgment. I know you might not enjoy this dimension of Jesus. I know He will not like it.
He said, he's a savior. He's a savior.
In this end time, he wants to save to the uttermost. He will save anyhow. So he will save by love and he will save by judgment. When Elimas the sorcerer tried to withstand the king, God judged him and the official was saved. Then lastly is the power of influence. And they shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Ghost is a global spirit. That is why your business must go global. Begin to exercise faith. Your financial franchise must hit the world like a tornado, like thunder. If not, you have limited the Holy Ghost. I can't be a local preacher. No. I can't be a local preacher. No, I can't be, because the Holy Ghost is a world overcoming spirit. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. And he does this by giving you supernatural publicity. The Bible says there was noise abroad and people came to hear them, and the gospel took off from there. 3,000 men were saved that day and the church was birthed. Tonight, our job is simple. In the next 25 minutes, we'll pray. It's a good thing to know the word of God. We've received enlightenment. We've seen the possibilities in God. That God wants to give every one of us this apostolic anointing to close the age, because the close of the age is here. Every one of us must be carriers of this anointing. That's why the fact that we are not ministers. The power of God is for all. It's not for only ministers. These signs shall follow them that believe. It's for all of us. We've seen the possibility so mighty. It's so interesting that any week that stands before you will die. What a wonderful life. If your boss tries to charm you, he goes 6 feet down. What a life of liberty. That you are so powerful that even darkness is scared of you. Because the light shines in darkness and darkness cannot comprehend it. What a life that no sickness can take your life. What a life that when you speak, what men receive is fire. What a life. The possibilities are great. It is the word of God. But saints of God, friends of Jesus, you can know the word of God and still amount to nothing. You can know the prophecies of God about your life and still amount to nothing. Jerusalem had all the writings, but when their salvation came, they did not know that one day Jesus walked out of the city gate and said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not, because you do not know the days of visitation. They had the enlightenment, but when the kairos moment came, they didn't know what to do to enter into their joy. It is not enough to know the word of God. You must know the how of God. Gabriel came, gave Mary a wonderful prophecy. Something that's never been done. You're a virgin. You've kept yourself. You give birth to the Savior. You midwife the Savior from heaven down to earth. Mary was smart enough. She said, how shall these be? Seeing that I don't know a man. It wasn't a question of doubt. It's a question of the understanding of the process. She asked herself, I'm a spouse to Joseph. If I go meet him before the marriage day, is a sin. So how can this be? It says the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And thou which shall be conceived in thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. The how is always the Holy Ghost from the end of God. But there is always a how from the end of man. When Jesus encountered Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus to waste the church, Saul was smart. That guy was smart. He said, I don't have time to show you from scriptures. Let's run. When Jesus struck him down, the first one said, who are you? How many of you ask God questions? Who are you? He says, I am Jesus. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. He said, okay, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? He asked the question of the processing of destiny. And Jesus told him, you have known that the full apostolic stream is available for you right now. The question now, what will you have me do? Until the question of what will I do is answered in destiny, destiny is never in view. Anointings are never in view. Jesus knew he was the savior of the world. But when he came, he had to do something with the prophecy. He fulfilled it intentionally. The Bible says he entered the temple. He took the scriptures. Then he opened it to where it was written of him. The Lord has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord had anointed me. And he began to read his destiny. He had always read it. But when the moment came, he acted out his destiny. In the volume, it is written of me, I am come. There must be action of destiny. Tonight, what must I do to possess, to function, to manifest the fullness of the apostolic anointing? I show us two and we'll pray. Apostle Victor, always help me. Daughters, so I am blessed among women. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord Jesus. What must I do to function in the fullness of the apostolic anointing? I shared only two with us. I will pray. It's a solemn moment. Number one is the acknowledgement, the understanding, and the imbibing of the doctrine of death. The acknowledgement, the understanding, and the imbibing of the doctrine of death. Or better still, the doctrine of the cross. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. And we know that Jesus is the chief apostle. He's the chief apostle. He functioned in the fullness of the apostolic power of God. He raised the dead. When he spoke the word of God, the Bible says, the soldiers reported, no man ever spoke like him. His words could raise the dead. Could raise both the physically dead and the spiritually dead. Lazarus, come forth. His words were forgiven. That is the Jesus that says all power in heaven and on earth. How did he access that power? Why didn't he make the statement while he was still alive? While he was still alive, he couldn't really function in all power of God. We saw that. Because he couldn't perform all miracles in his hometown, he wasn't allowed to override the sovereignty of man, the free will of man. But when he died and rose again, he overrode the will of Saul. And Saul gave his life to Christ. It was after Jesus died and was raised from the dead that he said, all power is now mine. To understand how Jesus accessed this all power of God, we must understand when he uttered the statement. He made this statement after he had died, after he was buried, and after he rose again. Hear me right now. The full apostolic power of God is for dead men. The full apostolic power of God can only function through the heart of men who are dead. If you are not dead, you function maybe at the measure of the ankle level, or you function at the measure of the knee, or you just have some reason, but maybe at 65, one occultic man will kill you, even if you are a preacher. Or maybe to a certain level, you die more. You function at the loin level. But if you want to swim in the anointing, the fullness of the grace of the apostolic, you must be dead. Until Jesus died, he could not say, all power. The all power of God is for dead men. The power that will take every question mark from your life will only come when you are dead. If not, you'll be functioning in measures, in measures, in measures, in measures. Saints of God, friends of Jesus, the doctrine of death must be restored to the church. If not, the church will be weak. God does not use men who are alive. He only uses men who are dead. Until a grain of wheat falls and dies, it abides alone. It cannot bring forth life. And you know that when it falls down, it will die. Then a new life, the newness of life, will begin to sprout out. Dead men are needed. Dead women are needed. And someone is asking me, what will I die to? Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't mean take a knife and kill yourself, or take one gun, place it on your forehead and smash your wife out. That is not the death. It is death in symbolism. It is the death of the inherited fallen life from Adam that still functions through our soul. That's why the fact that we are saved. Eternal life is not in your soul. Eternal life is not in your body. Eternal life is in your spirit. So the fallen life can still function through your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. What is the journey of death? I don't have time this evening to do a neat walk. What is the journey of death? One of those days, Jesus says, if any man desires to be my disciple, he must deny himself. He must carry his cross. And he must follow me. That is the journey of death. It's the journey of self-denial. The denial of self. You see, there are two life forces on your inside. The spirit life force and the self life force. The spirit life force is that which you receive from Jesus when you got saved. The self life force is the you that have been corrupted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus says, if the spirit life, which is the fullness of the apostolic, must flow through you, then the self life, the nature, by these three forces of the fall, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, must die continuously. If not, the full apostolic will not find expression. You must die. You will carry your cross. First of all, the journey of death begins from desire. Oh, Christians don't have desires anymore. Your mother died of diabetes. You are smiling. You are laughing. When you know that you are supposed to wield the rod of Zion, the lightning rod of God, to cure diabetes, as she died, did you begin to pursue the anointing that can cure diabetes? Though your mom is dead, I will not watch anyone again die of this sickness, because in Jesus is an answer. Do you have desires? If any man desires to be my disciple, don't you understand that Jesus is the full express image of God, the brightness of his person? The man that God recognizes is the man Jesus. God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion. God wants to create the man that is himself. Every man after Adam is not like God until he sent his son. And the Bible said Jesus is the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. So now the objective of redemption is that the predestination is that everyone is conformed to the image of his son. It is in that light that Jesus showed us the journey of conformity, desire, denial. Because no disciple can be more than his master. But it is enough that a disciple should be like his master. So Jesus wants you to become like him in life, in essence, in function, in ministry, and in blessing. If he says you can be like him, it's possible. If he says I can be like him, it is possible. It's possible. It's possible that I can say, Mama, stand up, and my dead mom rises from the dead, even though she died 4 days ago. I can multiply loaves and fishes. The hunger is gone. The poverty is gone. Because a man has decided to become like Jesus. It's possible. Whatever God says can be. Because the word of God shows us spiritual possibilities. But a man must desire, and a man must carry his cross. I know you love money. You have been stealing in your office. This is Abuja. Everybody wants to become big, even if they wound up being thieves. You can't manifest Jesus. You can't walk in the fullness of the apostolic fire. The love of mammon will cripple your soul. Don't you understand? Jesus says that a man can either worship two things. Either he worship God or he worship mammon. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. He didn't say you cannot serve God and Satan, because no man in his right senses will serve Satan. Men serve money, but Satan is their express ticket to getting it. So it looked as though they are serving Satan, but they aren't serving Satan, they are serving money. You will never manifest the fullness of the apostolic fire, because the lust for the things of the world. Satan carried Jesus, took him to a high mountain, and showed him all the world of this world. If you can bow down to me, it is yours. Jesus says, no, no. Why did Jesus function in the fullness of the fire of the apostolic? He denied himself. You see, when the Holy Ghost comes, the first thing he does in you is to kill you. The first ministry of the Holy Ghost is the ministry of death. Pentecostals don't like that one. When the Holy Ghost comes first, his first business is not to work out life, is to work in death. To kill those tendencies in your emotions, in your will, in your, you know. So when Jesus received him, the Bible says he drove him to the wilderness. The wilderness is a location in the spirit where every tendency of the fallen nature is killed. Wilderness has nothing to do with poverty. It has nothing to do with sickness. It has nothing to do with joblessness. If you are jobless, it's because your country is not providing job. That is a fact. I don't have time to work things out. Okay, you are a pastor of wilderness, right? Oh, okay, 2 minutes. The demonic doctrine of wilderness experience began when Israelite left Egypt, right? Huh? So we say, no, God must have to carry you through the wilderness so that he can work in something. No. It's not God, it's Satan. The journey from Egypt to Israel to Canaan was for what? 40 days. The Bible says, because of their stiff-neckedness, their stubbornness, God took them through the longer route, because if they see war, they'll run back to bondage. How some of you now, you got saved on Sunday. By Wednesday, landlord disturbed you. You went back and slept with Alhaji. God was trying to save them, those tendencies. So he took them through a longer route that lasted 40 years. It was not God's will. It was because God wanted to save them to the uttermost. Because through them, the seed, Jesus, the Savior, could arise. So he wouldn't have them go back to Egypt. It was a 40 days walk. You are an apostle of wilderness. You are going about making the case for Satan. Because poverty is the work of Satan. Sickness is his work. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no delay in heaven. There's no darkness in heaven. In short, in heaven, there is no neon light. Jesus is the light. Every good and perfect gift cometh from God, who is the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. If it's not good, if it's not perfect, it's not from God. Poverty is not from God. Apostle of wilderness, let me ask you a question. Even in those 40 years, the Bible said they didn't suffer hunger. God gave them the bread of heaven, manna. In your wilderness, you cannot eat. See, and he says it's from God. And he says it's God trying to teach you a lesson. Which God? In your wilderness, you don't have clothes. You say it's God. The Bible says in those 40 years, they were not naked. Their cloth was never worn out. As they were growing, their clothes was growing. Their shoes were growing. Hear me right now. God will, has never, and will never use the tool of darkness to teach light. Apostle of wilderness experience. I ask you a third question. You see, your knowledge of God will determine your experience. If your knowledge is wrong, your outcome will be wrong. I see many young folks wasting, failing in school, and says it is process. I failed in school. I knew the demons that appeared to me. I know it was never God. I almost became depressed. My parents didn't know. I had migraine every night. I fell into depression. If not that the anointing was on my life, I would have died. Till date, every day I have terrible migraine. It's one of the symptoms of depression. Till today, I still have that migraine. It's still not completely gone. So I couldn't swallow the doctrine of wilderness. I couldn't. I knew when demons were appearing to me and say, if you serve God in this school, we will frustrate you. I saw the demons. They are like monkeys. Apostle of wilderness experience. You say, no, even the master Jesus passed through. Oh, yeah. The Holy Ghost led him after he received the anointing. But for how many days? Huh? Year have lasted 4 years. 40 days. 40 days. Prophetic timeline. 40 days. Israelites were supposed to be there 40 days. Jesus was there 40 days to bring out the beauty of the life of God out of him. Apostle of wilderness experience. My postulation number 4. The Bible says everyone that left Egypt who understood right from wrong, all of them died in the wilderness except Caleb and Joshua, who were of another spirit. You have swallowed wilderness experience, you will die in the wilderness. To complete the glorification of the doctrine, be prepared to die. You will die in poverty. You will die in sickness. You'll be 50, you will not marry. Since God will have to perfect you first before you marry. Perfection in this kingdom is a process. That is why in perfect redemption, there is a clause called the forgiveness of sins. Do we experience bad things? Yes. We experience poverty. We experience hardship. We experience delay. But they are not from God. But that will happen. Why? We live in a fractured world. Bad things will happen to good people. You are holy. You are a virgin. You are everything. Satan will say, I will resist your marriage. You are 35. No husband. Meanwhile, the prostitute on your street at 25, she's already married. I said, no, it's God trying to teach me. It's not God. He says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Let me tell you the negative impact of the demonic doctrine of wilderness experience. To take the power of resistance out of you. And demon loves it when you don't resist their works. Their works will go on being perpetuated. So the lady who is 35, who is not yet married, no, it is process, it's process. When the Bible says, and thou shalt enjoy the wife of thy youth, let her breast satisfy you. Always, it means you are to marry at the flower of your age. You are 35. Some folks are saying, it's process. What process? Satan did it. Rise up and fight it in the place of warfare. Invoke the judgmental dimension of the apostolic power. If anyone is responsible, they will die and your liberation will come. Don't you understand? The prophetic word says Israel was to be in Egypt for 400 years. 30 years entered that Jesus did not know about. Are you following me? God is a good God. Tell someone, God is a good God. God is a good God. Do bad things happen? Yes. I've had a lot of bad things happen in my life. I've had my younger sister died. I've had terrible things happen and I could do nothing about it, but it's not from God. Satan is the thief. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. And he comes to destroy. He says all things work out together for good. He didn't say all things are from God. As you have faith in him and you are in alignment, the more you are praying in tongues every day, 2 hours, every day you are fighting, a day will come, deliverance will come. That when you look back, you will know that you couldn't have been where you are now were it not for what Satan did. Hear me right now. If not that I spent 10 good years in school, I might never have met Apostle Michael Orokpo to be having the privilege to stand here now. It was in my days of failure that we met and we became good friends. Lived in the same house. In the days of failure, from friends to brothers. What Satan meant for evil, God has turned it for good. So, were it not for what Satan did to me, I wouldn't have been where I am now. So, that is why men started pushing the doctrine of wilderness. Because those of them that passed through bad times, when God turned things around, when they look back, it seemed as if it was those bad things that brought them into it. No, it's because there is a power in God called all things work out together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Were it not because Satan made me fail, I must not have met this young man. We started year one together again. Whereas I was supposed to finish 1 year before he enters university. But because of my failure, we became classmates, doing GST together, me and this young man. When I was in SS3, he was in GSS2, the same secondary school. We became classmates again. Why? Because I lost 5 years. We sat on the same seat, receiving lectures. Were it not that I failed, I wouldn't have met Apostle Victor. I thank God I have met them. What Satan meant for evil, God turned it for good. I don't believe in wilderness experience. It's a doctrine of devils, born out of ignorance. I don't believe in it. And I will never. So Satan led Jesus to the wilderness where God, I told you that wilderness is what? Is a spiritual geographical location where the Holy Ghost leads men to empty them of the effect of the fall and the tendencies of the fallen life. In the wilderness, loss will die out of you. The pride of life will die out of you. The loss of the eyes will die. If you like, elongate your own. The faster you submit, if God loves you, the shorter. You can fulfill the prophetic timeline 40 days, but if you don't submit, if God loves you, he will pause your life. You will be there for 8 years. Satan will ensure you don't have food. Satan will ensure you don't have water. Satan will ensure you don't have clothes. Then God will allow him. You know, right? God allows Satan to deal with Job. God is not the cause, but God can allow. I'm showing you who God is now. God will allow. God will just allow you. 10 years, no husband. God can do, but God will allow him. Because where you are going to is too big. Divine ordination is on your head. You must learn that lesson of character. The man he's bringing will be an apostolic prophet, global brand. He has ordained that you will be the wife, but your jealousy is too much. So he will pause your marital destiny. Then because of you too, the man of God will not marry. Because by fire, by force, you must be husband and wife. So after 10 years, you that think you are endowed, you know what I mean, right? You that think you are a lady that is endowed, everything is beginning to fall. Then you become humble. Become so humble. Because what you don't learn by revelation, you learn by affliction. If revelation cannot teach you, affliction will teach you. So at age 38, you are a sweet woman of God who sees every man and says, "Sir, good afternoon, sir. Sir, good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, sir." It's not rema, it's affliction. A fellow sister, you say, "Sister, God bless you. How you doing?" Yeah, it is well, oh. God is faithful, eh? It's well. Bless you. You, before, never. You carry yourself like the peacock. You can't carry yourself. You can't carry yourself. No. But affliction has humbled you. At that point, God can now bring the apostle. So what Satan was using for evil, God has worked it out. There's a converting power in God. It's a power that makes all things. I am here to announce to you, if you are going through terrible times, spend time loving Jesus. Spend time praying in tongues. When you come out of it, you will thank God Satan attacked you. Today I thank God Satan attacked me. See, I met my wife when I failed. If I was out of school, I wouldn't have met her. My wife is an angel. And I love her with everything in me.
Satan took Jesus to the wilderness. Jesus died. And afterward, he was a hunger. Luke 4:14, he returned in the power of the Spirit.
No death, no power. No death, no glory. No death, no glory. No death, no glory. Let's look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 to 12.
Always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal body.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 12. You see, the secret of life is death. Secret of life is death. ICT verse 12.
Always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. The dying of the Lord Jesus. The dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life also. You bear the death in your flesh. Fornication comes, you say no. Dead men don't fornicate. Lie comes, you say no. Dead tongue don't lie. The pride of life comes, you say ah. How can a dead man be proud?
ICT, 2 Corinthians 4, 12. 10 to 12.
It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. This is Paul, the apostle of new creation realities. Says, we always bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Until you die, you cannot live. Saints of God, there is the beauty of death. Tell someone die. Tell someone die. Yeah, and it's a daily thing. Paul says, I die daily. Oh, bratiskos, kifate, la diza, diada. Number two, as we get set to pray, the hunger for more of the Holy Ghost. It's after the Holy Ghost have walked into you, the protocol of death, the next thing he does is the impartation of life. This life comes by the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Yes, of course, I know all of us here have got the Holy Ghost. So my emphasis now will be on how to become powerful in the Holy Ghost life. You see, Jesus received the Holy Ghost in two dimensions. Look for one. He received, that one drove him to die, right? Then he came out in Luke 4:14 and Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 18, talked about the life of power. I want to talk about how to become powerful in this Holy Ghost life. The Holy Ghost, of course, is called the Spirit of Power. He have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but of what? Of love, of power, and of a sound mind. How do I become powerful in the Holy Ghost? You see, the Bible says that God gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. It's another dimension of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This receiving, right, is not only because God loves you. It's not only by salvation, it's also by consecration. Let me ask you, do you speak in tongues? Why are you powerless? Did Jesus not say, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come? Now you claim you have received the Holy Ghost, but you are powerless as powerless could be. It's because you received the salvation dimension of the Holy Ghost. You've not entered the consecration dimension of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The second reception of the Holy Ghost is when Jesus starts being glorified in your life. The more he's glorified, the more you see the power of God. The more he's glorified through your alignment, your consecration, the more powerful the Holy Ghost becomes in your life. In this protocol, God will break the flesh. You see, the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. But speaking in tongues is not the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is power.
not speaking in tongues. Power is a substance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but tongues is the initia. And you know, anything initia is not good. It means it's old school. Some of us are still in the old school evidence. The tongues have not translated to power. There's a system whereby your baptism with the person of the Holy Ghost is translated to baptism of power. Don't you understand how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost, one, and with power, two? You have the baptism of the person of the Holy Ghost. You are yet to touch the baptism of the power of the Holy Ghost. The first is free. The second one, you pay a price. Psalm chapter 63. O Lord, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted after thee. My flesh longs after thee to see thy power and thy glory, just as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. In the protocol of the anointing with the power of the Holy Ghost, the whole compartment of your being will pay the price. O Lord, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. The organ that seeks God is your born again spirit. My soul thirsted for thee. Your soul is involved in prayers, fellowship, worship, the word to transform you consistently so that you might live the perfect will of God. My flesh longeth after thee in the place of fasting. Because you cannot put a new wine in an old wineskin. Saint of God, power is costly. Powerlessness is cheap. Wash BB Niger. It is on now. Satan too, to waste 10 years of your work with God. It is on now. Say, some of you now, Satan has fully given you BB Niger employment. Five hours every night. And you think you can command deliverance unto Jacob. You will do like that, your first son will die. Because you could not see when the angel of death is coming. Oh, these are... Abuja have witches and wizards. He said, I did not know. This morning, one entered my room while I was praying. Thank God I was praying. My eyes were closed. I sat on the sofa and I was praying. The door was locked. My eyes was open. And I saw something like a reptile. How do I describe it now? It's like a reptile, like a lizard, big lizard, but the legs were long with this thing, the claws. It passed through the door, right? It used the leg to hook the wall, and I saw it clearly. And I laughed. I said, you devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. And it vanished. I didn't know Abuja have witches. Abuja knew Encounter is here. Abuja knows Apostle Michael sent me here. There came, what if I was not praying? He said he was praying and the heavens were opened. Have you heard that preachers die in their hotel room? Those are the things that happen. I saw it live. Must pay the price of pressing into the consecrational power of the Holy Ghost. Who wants to cry tonight? Rise to your feet. Somebody go ahead and pray. I have 20 more minutes.
blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.